look with me in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 2, then we're going to do something else. It says, in Caesarea there lived a Roman officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was devout. That means he was very dedicated, committed to God, a God-fearing man, and everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor. Isn't that great? He was a man who gave. I hope that could be said about me. I hope it could be said about you. He gave generously. Then it says this, and he prayed regularly to God. He prayed regularly. And that phrase, prayed regularly, gripped me. Because my first thought is, how do you do that? Do you ever struggle praying? I'm a very person that likes facts and figures and likes things, one, two, three. It has always been a struggle for me to talk to someone who's not there. I mean, I know God's there, but I can't see him. For me personally, that's a little strange sometimes. Here lately, I've been praying on my front porch. I get up in the morning early and get a cup of coffee, and we have a little porch. And there's this elderly couple who's been walking. I'm sitting on the front porch praying, but they're walking. And I know they walk by me, and they see my lips moving, but no. And I think they probably think they got a crazy man as a neighbor, right? I mean, just like, who's the lunatic on that front porch during the morning? Just struggle. Second of all, I run out of things to pray for. I go in and I have good intentions. And then I pray about everything I know to pray for. And I look at my watch and it's like 5 minutes. I'm like, wow, you know, I struggle sometimes. So years ago, I read a book, and probably 35 to 40 years ago. In this book, taught a pattern of prayer based upon the Lord's Prayer, which we're getting to read here in a minute, the most famous prayer in the Bible. And most of you have heard the Lord's Prayer. Many of you could quote it. The Lord's Prayer wasn't meant to be necessarily quoted, even though there's nothing wrong with quoting it. Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer as a pattern or an example of how we can pray. So I read this book years ago, and over time, I've kind of developed an outline based upon the Lord's Prayer that helps me to pray. Because here's what I know, that if I'm going to pray regularly, that's the goal. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says this, be faithful in prayer. That was Paul's command to the church in Rome. Be faithful in prayer. Here we say be consistent or be regular in our prayer life. But I know as a pastor, if I don't teach you how to do that, it can be very frustrating and hard. And so look with me at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The disciples went to Jesus, and think about this. All the questions they could ask Jesus, they say, Jesus, teach us to pray. Not how to preach, not how to witness, not how to give. He says, God, Jesus, you know why they asked Jesus, teach you to pray? Because they heard Jesus pray, and they realized, I don't know how to pray like that. So recognizing they didn't know how to pray like that, they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, we hear you pray. Because these were Jewish believers, disciples, Peter and John. They recited prayers from the time they could talk. A Jewish boy, even today, they recite prayers from the time. They have morning prayers, afternoon prayers, and evening prayers, even today. And so Jewish boys and girls from the youngest age, they learned to recite prayers. But when they heard Jesus to pray, they realized there was something inadequate about their prayer life. So they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, you pray differently than we do. We want to pray like you. Would you teach us to pray? And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus says, well, then pray then like this. This is how you're to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So again, there's nothing quoting this prayer. Sometimes I quote this prayer. But what this is an outline or a pattern, different categories that help you to know how to pray. Because here's what I know. If I'm going to pray consistently, I need three things. I need to have a time that I'm going to pray. If I don't set a time, I don't pray. Because I get busy, I get distracted, I get watching TV, I get scrolling on my phone. Next thing you know, I meant to pray that day. But if I don't have a designated time, I fail to pray. Number two, I have a place of prayer. A place of prayer. That changes for me. Right now, it's the front porch. My wife has two rockers on our front porch. It's covered. And so in the mornings, I get up, usually around 5:30 in the morning. I go down and make a cup of coffee because you can't talk to Jesus without coffee in the morning. And then I go sit on my front porch, and that's my place of prayer. Now, during the winter, I have a spare bedroom in our house. So we have like a little chair, and that's where I go during the winter because I'm not praying outside, right? And so I have a place of prayer. But then I got to have a plan. I got to know what I'm going to pray for. Again, years ago, I was at a conference, and a pastor there who's famous about prayer, David Yonggi Cho, he says, you know, one of the keys of praying every day is you kind of pray about the same thing every day. And sometimes that can seem monotonous, but here's what I've learned. I pray for my wife, my kids, and my grandkids every day, consistently every day. Because what I've learned is if I'm not praying for my family, who is? If you're sitting on this side of the sanctuary, don't ever believe for a moment that someone on that side of the sanctuary is praying for your kids and grandkids. They're not. You're not praying for theirs, right? And so God has given me a stewardship of a family. And so I pray kind of the same prayers. It changes some. I kind of know what's going on in my kids' and grandkids' life. But I pray for my family on a regular basis, a consistent basis. So I've got to have a place. I've got to have a plan. And I've got to have a time. I'm a morning person. My best hours of the day are in the morning. I do believe morning is the best way of starting your day is with prayer. But it's not a law. Some of you are night owls, and maybe it's better for you to pray. And some of you work swing shifts and stuff, and based upon your work schedule, you may need to pray different times of the day. But what I encourage you is have a time that you're going to pray, have a place that you're going to pray, and have a plan. And this Lord's Prayer gives us a plan. So I'm going to be very personal. I'm going to give you my plan. This is what I do. So based upon the Lord's Prayer, this is what Pastor Kevin does on a regular, consistent basis, okay? Number one, begin your prayer time with worship. Our Father in heaven, this is how we start. There's two phrases there. Number one is our Father, and that is a phrase of intimacy. Now, some of you maybe didn't have a great dad growing up, but you've got a Heavenly Father who's perfect, who loves you, and who cares for you. And we start out with our Father. It's an intimate, but He's also your King. He's in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And so here's what I kind of do when I start my time. I get my cup of coffee. I've got a new coffee maker. It's great. So I'm making fresh cups of coffee every morning. And I go sit out there. Usually I sit in that rocker. And I start out the day by quieting myself. I just get quiet before the Lord. I put my phone away. There's no noise. That's not very long, but I've kind of learned I've got to get my mind and my spirit in a position and environment to pray. And so for just a few moments, I just kind of quiet myself. And then the next thing that I do is I do my one-year Bible reading at that time. Because I know that as I read the Bible, it sets me up for my prayer time. So I read the one-year Bible off my phone. If you don't have a one-year Bible, we're actually giving them away at the lobby. Again, you can have free auto tickets and a free one-year Bible today. We'll give them to you. But then I'm looking for God to speak to me that morning. I'm looking for a verse that sticks out. I'm looking for things I can pray about. So I'm not just reading it, but I'm actually anticipating a phrase or a verse or something sticking out to me, and I'll pray that. Then after that, if you're able to sing or you can play an instrument, I would encourage you to sing. Or to play, if you play the piano, the guitar, it'd be a great time to worship God. That's not me. If my neighbors walked by and heard me singing, they'd quit walking by. I promise you, you don't want to hear me sing. But you know what I can do is I can play worship music on my phone. So usually after I quiet myself and I read my one-year Bible, this morning I play the song. My wife and I have Apple Music. You may have Spotify, whatever you have. But more love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I'm sitting on that rocker, and that worship song is, and I'm kind of singing along very quietly that nobody can hear me and doing that. And I'm telling you, I felt God's presence today. I started my day in the presence of a King. And I started my day in the presence of my Father. And it was wonderful. There are some days it doesn't happen often. I'll never get past that. I'll turn on a worship music, and next thing you know, my prayer time's done because it just God shows up. But today wasn't. But I just spent a few minutes. That song played two or three times through. More love, more power, more of you in my life. I worship you with all my heart, I worship you with all my mind. I worship you with all my strength, for you are my God. And I experienced just the presence of God. At the end of that time, I then turned to thanksgiving. You know, even social scientists say that if you want to be happier in life, have an attitude of gratitude. And every morning when I get there in that rocking chair, I try to think back for the day before in my life and say, God, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful that I'm pastor at First Assembly. That was today. I'm thankful that I get to come here and share the word with you and shake your hand as you come in. I just say, God, I'm grateful that you brought us back home. All of you have things you could be grateful for. So this is not hard. Quiet yourself. Read your Bible. Turn on some worship music. Or if you're able to sing, sing a song. And then just be thankful. So our Father who art in heaven, I open my time of prayer by just quieting myself, getting the word of God in my mind and my spirit, spending some time in his presence, being thankful for something. It's not long, but just do that. So our Father who art in heaven, then the next phrase of that is, hallowed be thy name. Now that's a different phrase. That word hallowed be thy name really means, God, may your name be holy or set apart. It is God being the king of our lives. And so we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be that name. That's that time of worship. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I start out, God, may your kingdom be done on earth. And here's some things that I pray for. Number one, I have an app on my phone. It's called Echo. And you can put prayer requests in there. And I have a list of people in my life, kind of like this prayer wall back here, who are not right with God right now. I've got some nieces and nephews on that thing. I've got some people that I love dearly whose names are there. When I pray your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, I begin to pray for people. Who in here, you have people in your life, family members or friends, people you love dearly, who are just far from God right now. Again, if you're not praying for them, who is? And so I have those names. I've been to pray for those names. Can I give you a testimony? One of the names that I've been praying, that I prayed for over a decade. This person got so far away from God, they had an issue with drug addiction. I mean, they were about as far away from God as you can. At one point, she lost custody of her child. The addiction got so bad, the grandparents had to take the baby. That's how far away this person was from God. Today, she's married, got kids in church, living for Jesus. Her and her husband just bought a new house, and they've got a business. I mean, they are thriving. But you know what? I prayed for this person for decades. She got away from God when she was an early teenager and just went crazy and far from God. You don't give up on the people you love. And we've got to pray for those people because prayer makes a difference. When you pray for your loved ones, something's happening in the spiritual realm. And I've got people on that list who are still, I've been praying for decades, 10, 20, 30 years, they get right with God. And I'm not seeing any, and sometimes when you start praying for them, they don't get better, they get worse. But you don't give up. So I say, your kingdom come, your will be done in that app. Are you going to have it? I've got a list of people. See, I learn if I don't have a plan, I run out of things to pray for. But if I got a plan, then I can begin to pray for these people who are far from God. Then I begin to look for opportunities to share faith or share love to them because I want to see them saved. The second thing I pray for is after praying for the list of people, I pray for at least one of our missionaries. And Pastor Don Ace here, if you'd like to have a list of our missionaries, she can email you this week a list of our missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. And I'll pick one, and I'll call them by name. This week I prayed for Don Amsler Cold, who was here last week. I want to thank you. $2,000 came in for Don last week. Isn't that great? And our mission offering, yeah, give him a praise. Awesome. Because God, I'm praying that God would expand his kingdom on this earth. So I pray for lost people in my life. I pray for a missionary. The third thing I pray for is I pray for this church. I want to ask you to pray for your church. Pray for your pastoral staff. Pray for your elders. Pray for Kathy and I. I pray over our elder board regularly. I pray over our pastoral staff regularly. I pray for our ministries of our church. I pray for those things. Why? Because I want our church to grow, and I want God's kingdom in Henderson County to grow. And so your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for our church. I have a list of people on this church, again, in my app, who are sick. There's people in this room. Dan Pitt, I pray for you regularly. I pray for you. I pray for Sherry Pendergraft's sister on a regular basis. Been praying for Aaron Scott on a regular basis. In your bulletin, there's a list of needs. You could take that home this week. And maybe you can't pray for all those names every morning, but you know what? You could pick one or two of those names. And during your kingdom come, pray for people that you know who needs God to do something in their life. The next thing I'll pray for is government leaders. You know, the Bible commands us, not suggests, he commands us to pray for our leaders. He says, pray for the emperor, which at that time was Caesar. So I pray for my Republican president, and I pray for my Democratic governor, and I have a list of all the Supreme Court justices, and I have a list of government leaders, and on a regular basis, I pray for them. You say, what do you pray for them for? Here's what I pray for. I pray, one, that they come to know God. My first concern for my government leaders is they go to heaven. So I pray for my president and my governor and the Supreme Court, and I have a whole list of our local mayor, and I say, God, if they're not right with you, I pray for their salvation in the name of Jesus. Then I pray this, God, give us men and women of character and competence that will make wise decisions that will lead America onto your will. That's my prayer for my government leaders. God, give us men and women of character and competence, because I believe we need both. We need men and women of character. We need men and women of competence who will make wise decisions in their role in government that will lead America onto your will. And I pray regularly for our government leaders. Listen, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for America. And so again, I got to have a plan. I got to have a place. I got to have a time. I got to have a plan. I pray for our government leaders. And then last of that part, your kingdom come, I pray certain scriptures. Has God ever given you a promise in the Bible? When God gives you a promise or a verse in the Bible, I capture it in that app. And I put it there. And so when Kathy and I knew we were coming back to First Assembly, God gave me a promise, Job 8:7. And I regularly pray Job 8:7 over my life. Another prayer that I pray over my life regularly is the prayer of Jabez. Oh, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And that prayer means some things to me. And I pray, so I pray scripture because that's God's kingdom. So number one, we start our time with worship. We quiet ourselves. We listen to worship music. You read your Bible. Thank God for it. Number two, begin to pray for his kingdom first. Before I pray for myself, I pray for his kingdom, right? I pray for our government. I pray for our nation. I pray for our church. I pray for our missionaries. You know, another thing we'll do that's fun for me, my wife and I, when we were missionaries, we traveled all over the world. And whenever there was a Starbucks, we would go buy a Starbucks mug in that country. So I've got Starbucks mugs from Libya. I got Starbucks mugs from Spain and all that. So in the morning when I drink my coffee, I'll get one of those Starbucks mugs out and I'll pray for that country that day. So today I pray for Bangkok, Thailand. I've got a Starbucks mug from Bangkok. It's really cool. It's really cool. So this morning I prayed for Thailand. I said, God, I pray that souls would be saved in Thailand. I pray missionaries would go to Thailand. I pray that your church would advance in Thailand. You see, when you begin to pray like this, think about if God answers my prayer, just already all the things that God's done. Nations of the world could be changed through your prayers. Do you know that? So you've got to believe that. Nations of the world could be changed because you prayed for Thailand today. So whatever Starbucks, listen, you may just, whatever country comes to your mind, you may pray for the countries in the World Cup right now. Pray for America that we get better at soccer and all that kind of stuff, right? And all that stuff. But pray, pray. So number one, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's worship. Number two, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Number three, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. This is when I began to pray for other people. So this is when I pray for my family and Kathy's family. Again, in this app, I've got a list of my wife, my grandchildren, and my children. And I've got little things that I pray for them. And I know things are happening in their life. Like this last year, one of our grandsons was being bullied in school. And my wife and I, being grandparents, we wanted to drive to Missouri and beat those little children up. We really did. Like, pick on Ryder, you see what happens to you, buddy. Can't do that. But we've been praying for our grandson because he really, this last school year, had an extremely tough time. But again, if Ryder's parents and grandparents aren't praying for him, who is? See, when God gives you children and grandchildren, he's given you a stewardship that you're to bring their needs before God. Right now, one of our children is making a huge transition in their life. They're going to plant a church and leave where they're at. And we're praying for them. We're praying for them. So I pray for my family. I pray for friends. I pray for colleagues and neighbors. I pray for people who are sick and other needs. I pray for government leaders. But I pray. So kingdom, and then God's will be done. So you start out by praying for God's kingdom to advance in the world. Then you go by praying for others. And then the Bible says, give us this day what? Our day, pray for yourself. You pray for yourself. Now notice how God gives you a pattern here. You start out by worshiping God, and worship means you make God big. Then you pray for God's kingdom, missionaries, countries, lost people. Then you pray his will, other people, friends, that kind of thing. And then you know, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. So I pray my personal needs. I pray my personal desires and dreams. I pray my personal fears and worries. Pray for everything. Now, I actually got a list of things that I'm asking God to do in Kathy and I's life. Things that I want to have happen in my own life. Right now, my wife's driving a 2013 Kia Sorento, and for several years, I've been, God, enable us to save money to get Kathy a new vehicle when it's time. Right now, her air conditioner's not working. I didn't know that. I got in her car and said, it's time for you to get a new car. Right, it was like 100 degrees outside, man. Until you get a new car, we're driving my car. But anyway, so I'm doing that. I pray for that. He said, okay to pray for God to give you a car? Well, yeah, I'm not praying that God will make me rich. My wife needs a vehicle. And it's okay to pray for a new vehicle that God would provide for us. Nothing wrong with that. And so you pray for family. I pray for that. Then I pray for, then you know what? I've got dreams for our church that I pray for. Another thing I pray for, and I mentioned this, do you ever worry about anything? Didn't everybody ever worry about anything? You know, the Bible says, don't worry. But worry about nothing, but pray about everything. I want you to look at, and it's not on the slide, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 6, verse 6 says this. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer. So you know what? If you're afraid of something, pray your fears. If you worry about something, turn your worries into prayers. That's what the Bible says to do. The way to get peace in your life is the things that you're worried about, the things you're anxious about, the things that you're afraid of. The Bible says if you pray about those things, you'll receive a peace that surpasses your understanding. I encourage you. Pray about what you're worried about. Pray about your needs. Pray about your dreams. Pray about starting that business. Praying about giving more to men. Pray. But pray. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship. Thy kingdom come. We pray for missionaries and countries and our church and our nation. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our family and our friends and different things. Then we pray for ourselves. And then it says this. Look at this. I think this is important. Forgive us our debts, or another word for that is sins. Here's one of the tricks the devil uses you to keep you from praying. Stay with me. You don't feel worthy enough. Well, you know, Pastor, if you know what I've done in my life, if you knew what's happening in my life, or if you knew about my past, God's never going to answer my prayer. Listen to me. Sin does not keep God from answering your prayers. Unconfessed sin does. Because he says here, forgive me of my sins. Jesus so wants to answer your prayers. He goes, yeah, you may have things in your life that hinders your prayer. While you're praying, confess those things to God. And he'll forgive you and he'll answer your prayers. I want to say that again. When I wrote this last night, I felt this was for somebody in this room. Sin doesn't keep you from receiving answers to prayer. Unconfessed sin keeps you from receiving answers to prayer. That's why in the middle of this prayer, Jesus says, God, forgive me of my sins. So I'll examine my day. Before, I said, God, when I spoke roughly to my wife yesterday, I was wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. Or God, when I was flipping through my phone, scrolling, and I saw an image I shouldn't see, and I paused, God, forgive me. So I confess my sins to the Lord. So, and then I pray this, God, create in me a clean heart. It's a prayer of David. Create in me. I say, God, make sure if there's anything in my life that's displeasing to you, bring it to my mind and my attention. I want to get rid of it. I want to repent of it. God, create in me a clean heart. I don't want anything in my life that hinders my relationship with you, and I don't want anything in my life that will hinder my prayer. So God, show me things in my life. So again, sin doesn't keep you from receiving answers to prayer. Unconfessed sin keeps you from. So that's why in the middle of this prayer, after I worship God and make him big, I pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Then God, forgive me of my sins. And then what's the next part? Forgive those that have sinned against me. The second thing, the first thing that will keep you from receiving answers to prayer is unconfessed sin. The second thing is bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart towards someone else. How many know we've all been hurt in life? It's kind of the human experience, right? Actually, in this list, this app I have, I've got a list of people that have hurt me in my past. And I regularly pray for them. Say, God, I forgive John Doe. I release him from all wrongdoing. And I ask that you hold nothing against John on account of me. And I pray that you bless him. And there's people that have done me harm. There's people who have done me wrong. And I actually pray for them on a regular basis. I say, God, I forgive them. I release what they've done to me. I pray that you bless them. Now, do I always mean it? No. No. But over time, as I pray for those people, you know what happens? God begins to change my heart. And over time, I do mean it. So the two things that will hinder your prayers more than anything is unconfessed sin. Number two, bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. You've got to forgive those that have hurt you. You've got to release your pain. You've got to let it go. You say, God, I just put this in your hands. It is yours. I'm not going to hold on to that anymore. And what I've learned is forgiveness for me has been a process, not a one-time event. I'll forgive someone and everything will be great, but usually they're out of sight, out of mind, and something will happen, and I'll see them again, or something will show up on social media, and all those feelings come back again. You ever had that happen to you? And that's why I say, God, my feelings are revealing the condition of my heart, so I want you to know I forgive that person again, and I release them from all wrongdoing. I ask that you hold nothing against them on account of me, and I pray that you bless them, but I refuse to allow unforgiveness and bitterness to get inside of me. And then I pray, God, create in me a clean heart again. Don't allow me to have this stuff in my life. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. So I ask God to forgive me. Then I forgive others. Then look at this next phrase. This next phrase is a little confusing. Lead me not into temptation. And when you read that, like, well, why would God lead me into temptation, right? Here's what that phrase really means. Lead me away from temptation. It's a prayer of protection. Here's what I pray on a regular, God, you know the plans and attacks the devil has against me. I pray a prayer of protection over me. Put a dome of protection on me and lead me away from those. The best way to overcome temptation is not to face it. And God, who is sovereign, who knows all things, he knows what the devil's got planned for you. You know what else he knows? Parents, grandparents. He knows the plans the devil has against your kids and your grandkids. And one of the regular things I prayed it today over my grandchildren. God, I pray you lead my grandchildren away from temptation. I pray a prayer of protection over them. I pray, God, that you protect them from the attacks of the devil. And I pray that you release them in the name of Jesus. What a powerful prayer to pray for your kids and grandkids. And the next one was, deliver us from evil. Sometimes, again, I talked about one of my relatives who actually fell into drug addiction. And for decades, I prayed, God, deliver her from evil. Break that addiction of her life and set her free. It didn't happen in a day. Prayer is not in a microwave. It doesn't also happen instantly. But I'm telling you, today, that young lady is free. She's free. So I prayed, deliver. I pray that for myself. How many of you know we all have our weaknesses? We all have our areas in our life that we struggle with. And so I say, God, you know I'm weak. God, deliver me from that. You know I could become impatient. And I could be sure. God, deliver me from that. Deliver my wife from it. You know your spouse's weaknesses better than they do, don't you? Teasing. Should we be praying? Think about what we're praying here. You're praying this for your spouse. God, you know the attacks the devil has from my wife or my husband today. God, lead them away from that. I pray a prayer of protection on my spouse. When they go to work today, when they're out, God, lead. And then God, whatever Satan does have, God, set my spouse free from that. Set my child free from that. Set my grandchild free. Listen, when you begin to pray like that, something happens. And so the Lord's Prayer has become a pattern for me. It's become a pattern. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I worship. I get myself quiet. I do my Bible reading. I do my thanksgiving. Thy kingdom come. I pray for countries. I pray for our missionaries. I pray for our church. I pray for my nation. God, may your kingdom be established in America. May your kingdom be established in Egypt. May your kingdom be established in India. I begin to pray those things. I pray for a missionary every day. Say, God, use Bill McDonald. God, use Don Amser. God, use our missionaries. Meet every need that they have. Then I pray for my family. Thy will be done on earth. I pray for my family and my friends. Pray for you. I pray. Now, God, give us this day our daily bread. I pray for myself. God, again, notice, God's kingdom, praying for others, then praying for yourself. Worship, God's kingdom, praying for others, praying for yourself. And then I pray for forgiveness. God, forgive me of my sins. Then I pray for those that have hurt me and harmed me. Say, God, I pray that you even bless the person that's done me wrong. Why? Why would you? Because I want my forgiveness. The Bible says God cannot forgive you unless you forgive others. You know that? So when I say, God, forgive me of my sins, I then say, God, and help me to forgive. And if you're having a hard time forgiving someone, ask God to help you. I'm not minimalizing your pain. Some of you have been victims and gone through some tough times. And sometimes I say, God, I'm struggling to forgive so-and-so. Help me. You're creating me a clean heart. Then I pray, God, lead me not into temptation. I pray for our church of unity. God, I pray a dome of protection on our First Assembly. Never allow division or dissension into our church. Lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer of protection. Deliver us from the evil one is a prayer of deliverance. And I'm telling you, if you'll take the Lord's Prayer, you'll take some time, kind of fill it out. You can have a place of prayer. You can have a time of prayer. You can have a plan. Listen to me. It'll change your life. It could change the generations of your family. I'm praying for my grandchildren's future spouses. None of them are even old enough to date yet. But I know that's a pretty important decision. They go back to school in a few weeks. I know they're going to face some temptation. God, protect my grandkids. Go to school. See, now prayer for me has not become a ritual. It's become a partnership with God. I believe someday when I go to heaven, somebody from some country around the world is going to come to me and say, God answered your prayer. You prayed for Ecuador. And some missionary came to me, preached the gospel, and I got saved because you prayed back in Kentucky on your front porch. I may not see that in this lifetime, but I believe with all my heart, someday I'll see that. And I pray for my wife. I pray for you. Oh, I take the list of needs, and God, I've been praying for Jay and Debbie Schaefer. I can look around this room. Pray for you. Those that are elder board, I pray for you and your families. Because I believe it works. I believe God answers prayer. So it's not boring for me anymore. It's not hard for me. Because I've got a place. I've got a time. Got a plan. Now it's an adventure. And it can be for you. Prayer can become an adventure. Again, I'm not asking you to be perfect. It didn't say Cornelius was perfect, did it? It didn't say Cornelius prayed perfectly. It said he prayed what? Regularly. So here's my request. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to respond. Wherever you're at in your prayer life, maybe you're not praying at all and you're like, I just need to start. It's time to start. Or maybe you're doing this, but I want you to go wherever you're at in your prayer life. This morning, will you commit to take one step deeper? One step further. Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. In a few weeks, I'm going to pray this message, same message, again. So at this time, we're going to give you this list in a written form as a prayer guide so you can take it and fill it out and have your own plan. So you can't do what I do. You can take what I do and adapt it to you. So a few weeks, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to preach the same sermon again. I felt led to do it. Don't know exactly which week, but I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to take what I do and I'm going to put it on paper so you can take it, develop your own plan. And in that paper, I'm going to show you the app that I have, because I got all those things that I talked about praying for. It's in my app on my phone. So I can pray anywhere. I'm in the doctor's office waiting to get in. I can take my phone out and say, I'm going to start praying for Dan and for Aaron and for Jay Schaefer. I start praying for people just quietly. I don't make a show out of it. I don't ever want to draw attention to myself, but I can pray. Pray. I want to make it as easy as I can for me to pray and as easy as I can for you to pray.